Diet research of America says, according to the medical research, that the Japanese eat very little fat and have fewer heart attacks than British or Americans. The French eat a lot of fat and have fewer heart attacks than British or Americans. The Japanese drink very little red wine and have fewer heart attacks than British or Americans. The Italians drink excessive amounts of red wine and have fewer heart attacks than British or Americans. So according to the American Medical Research Association, their conclusion is eat and drink whatever you want. If speaking English is what kills you. It's about like that, isn't it? You know, nowadays, don't eat this, do eat this. It's all really confusing, but anyway, I don't know if there's really any truth to that conclusion or not, but I'm going to be sharing a series of messages with you on healthy heart, healthy life. And so I want you to pray with me as we prepare to look to the Word this morning. Father, I thank you for your Word. Lord, it is always timely. It's always what we need. And so, Father, I just pray that by the Spirit of grace that you speak into each and every heart and life. And Father, may we have a hearing ear to receive and to obey your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. It's going to be a four-part series called Healthy Heart, Healthy Life. And today we're going to talk about the hard heart. Now the Bible tells us just how important our hearts are. The Word of God says we're to love Him with all our heart. We're to seek Him with all our heart. We're to obey Him with all our heart. We're to serve Him with all our heart. We believe with our heart. We're to have singleness of heart. The Bible says we're to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. It tells us that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Our hearts are important to God. He knows that as our heart goes, so goes the rest of our life. The Greek word for heart is cardia. It's where we get our word cardiac. It refers to the physical heart, but figuratively, it's referring to man's entire mental, moral, and emotional activity. It is both the rational and the emotional aspect. Now, you know, if you listen to the attitude of our society when they talk about the heart and they use the heart on Valentine's Day, they're always talking about that emotional part of man. And if you listen to maybe what a lot of believers might think or say about the heart, they tend to think that the heart is your spirit, that the heart and the spirit are the same thing. But the Scripture refers to the heart as something on the inside, and yet it is not the same thing as your spirit. You need to remember your spirit, if you're a born-again Christian, your spirit is born of God. It's born, literally born of Him. So when the Bible is talking about the heart, it's speaking of your inner thoughts, your attitudes, your feelings, desires, your intentions, and ultimately the choices, the decisions that you make. The heart is the seat of the will. So I want to take a few minutes to show you that from Scripture, because we need to understand exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about the heart scripturally. And also, I want you to see how that your life flows out of your heart. If you have a healthy heart, you're going to have a healthy life. Matthew 5 and 19, Jesus said, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. But notice the first thing he said was evil thoughts. Our thoughts. And then our words, slander, testimony. And then our actions, murder, adultery, sexual immorality. All of those things come from the heart. Your thoughts, your words, and your actions are all an outflow of your heart. Matthew chapter 9, listen to what Jesus says to the religious people when he was healing a paralytic man. Matthew 9, 4 and 5, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? He knew their thoughts and he said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? You know, right now, some of us might have a resistance to what I'm sharing with you from the Word of God. And you know why? It is because that's not what you've heard before, or that's not what you've been taught before, or that's not what your preconceived ideas were. But I'm showing you right here in the Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, that your thoughts come from the heart. Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Proverbs 23 and 7, in the King James Version, it says it this way, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you know, we talk about that verse of Scripture, we talk about our thought life and how important what we think is, but we just kind of stumble across that phrase in there, in his heart. It's in his heart. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You see, thoughts and attitudes come from your heart. They pertain to the heart, and the word of God judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The heart is where our feelings are. Romans 9 and 2, Paul said, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. 2 Corinthians 2, 4, I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. Now, that's just a couple of examples. There are many examples just with the Apostle Paul alone where he talks about the intense feelings that he had in his heart. The heart is where our attitudes, our intentions, our desires come from. Jesus said, Matthew 5, 28, that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, God knows how important our hearts are, because what's in our heart ultimately is what's going to come out in our life. As your heart goes, so goes your life. It's in the heart that we make decisions and we purpose to do things. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says, each man should give what he has decided to in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see, you decide what you're going to give in your heart. Where did you make that decision? In your heart. You say, well, I thought about it, and now I just decided. You thought about it. Where'd those thoughts come from? Ultimately, they came from your heart. And in the end, that decision is made, it's a choice that's made in your heart. You see, we make the decision to choose to believe. Believing in your heart is how you're born again. Romans 10 and 10 says it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. Believing in your heart is the key to answered prayer. Mark 11, 23, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. You see, the key to answered prayer is that you believe in your heart. You want to have an abundant life, healthy life, the very best kind of life, you got to get your heart right. You got to have a healthy heart. A heart that is open and receptive to the Word of God. Your heart is so important. Everything in your life flows out from your heart. Luke 6, 45, Jesus said, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Healthy heart, healthy life. Proverbs 4, 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Your heart is where your life comes from. Your thoughts, attitudes, your words, your actions. It comes from your heart. As your heart goes, so goes your life. Now, Jesus tells us a parable about four different types of hearts. And one of those examples of that is recorded in Luke chapter 8. So if you want to go ahead and turn there. The first three types of hearts resulted in unproductive lives. The last one had tremendous results. See, the Word of God will produce in your life success, wholeness. It'll produce in you a healthy life. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4, it says, "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." Then in verses 11 through 15, Jesus explains the parable to us. He says, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." Now, I want to back up and look at the second part of verse 11 and then verse 12 one more time. The seed is the word of God. The first thing he tells us in the explanation is that the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. See, if we receive the seed of the Word of God, it has the power in it to cause us to believe and be saved. Now, whenever the Bible talks about being saved, I think people who are totally unchurched and don't know anything about the Bible usually are thinking, saved from what? And people that do know the Bible and know a lot about Christianity automatically think being born again. But I want you to understand that it means that, certainly, but it means more than that. The word saved is the Greek word sozo, and it doesn't just mean to be born again. In fact, a definition of that word would be to be healed, to be made whole, to be set free, to be delivered. And so when the Word of God comes into our heart, it has the power in it to make us whole. Healthy heart, healthy life. It has the power in it to set us free so that we can really live what Jesus called an abundant life, a healthy life. But that power of the Word doesn't produce anything in our life if it doesn't get inside and grow. So the very first type of heart that Jesus talks about here is a hard heart. It is those along the path. You know, most of the seed is sown out in the field where the farmer has worked and tilled the soil, but some of the seed fell along the wayside, on the path where it was hard. It didn't get down into the soil, and so the birds of the air come and they snatch it up. And in the same way, when we hear the Word of God, remember, the seed is the Word. So all four types of hearts here hear the Word. All four types have the opportunity to hear and receive the Word. And the first type here is the hard heart. It's hearts that are like that path. The word comes, but it just lays there on their heart. It's not received inside. And Jesus explains, now people that don't believe in the devil might have a hard time with this, but Jesus explains that the enemy, the devil, comes and he snatches it away to keep them from believing and being saved, being delivered, set free, made whole, healed, body, soul, and spirit. James 1:21 tells us, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Same word again. It's that same Greek word. It means that can make you whole, heal you, set you free. You see, those that hear the word of God and are like the beaten path, they don't really receive the word. It doesn't get down into their hearts if their hearts have been hardened. You see, sometimes people's hearts are hardened by unbelief. Their hearts are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And sometimes people's hearts are hardened by hurts, disappointments, and just the wear and tear of life, like a path that's been walked on many times. And I want to encourage you today that all of us need to watch that we don't allow some area of our heart to get hardened. You see, I see that a lot of times believers who maybe are walking in victory and freedom in one area of their life are not walking in victory and freedom in another area of their life. They've heard the word and really received and accepted it, and it's brought forth fruit in their life in one area, but maybe in another area, they're still bound up. They're not receiving. They're not really allowing the word to have its power, its effect in their life. But James 1:21 says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. See, when the word is not readily accepted, then the devil comes and he steals it away like little birds picking up seed off a path. When there's resistance to the word, it gives the enemy the opportunity to snatch it away. Sometimes religion and the teachings of men can bring unbelief and harden people's hearts to hearing the word. When they hear the word, they say, I don't believe that. It's amazing to me that you can share scripture with somebody and quote it to them verbatim. You can even read the words of Jesus in red in my Bible right here. And they'll say, I don't believe that. Born again, Bible believing Christians. And they say, I don't believe that. You know why? Because that's not what they've been taught, that's not what they grew up believing, or that's not what their preconceived notions were. And so their hearts are hardened to the word of God. They don't receive it. And the end result is there's some area of their life where they don't have real freedom. There's some area of their life where they're not really whole. Sometimes they don't receive because they don't like the vessel. I've been there before. I don't always like the vessel that the word comes through. Well, that person's just not very spiritual. They're not educated. Well, maybe I just don't like them. Don't like their personality. And yet, if it's the word of the Lord, we need to be open and receptive to it. Don't allow yourself to be hard-hearted and resist the word. No, we got to decide to hear, to receive the word of God. Some people that have been in church for a long, long time get to the place where the word doesn't really impact them anymore. In fact, most of us deal with that at some point in our Christian life. We hear the word, and yet is it really having an impact on us? Or have we become hardened to it? You know, it's like when Jesus ministered in his own country, the Bible says that he could not do many mighty miracles there because of the unbelief of the people. Why? Why was there unbelief? Because they had grown up with Jesus. They knew him too well. They were familiar with him. And so we read that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And sometimes we who are in church, in fact, just being in America, we are so saturated with Bible, Christianity, all around us, that many times we're so familiar with it that when the word goes forth, we don't really receive it. Oh, we know it, but we don't really receive it inside. That's why on the mission field sometimes when the gospel is preached, they see tremendous, mighty miracles that we oftentimes don't see here. It is because we are familiar with it. We've heard it, and yet we're not fully embracing it anymore. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you. Don't make sure that there's no hardness in your heart to the Word of God, that you are open and receptive and hungry, that you receive humbly the implanted Word that's able to save your soul. See, we're robbed of the life-changing Word of God when we don't really receive from the Word. Unbelief is a common symptom of a hard heart. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13 says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." He said, a sinful, unbelieving heart. It's amazing how that unbelief can block you from receiving anything from God. If you're going to receive anything from God, you got to believe. See, God wants to bless His people. He wants to work in our lives. But sometimes He doesn't. Why? Because our hearts have been hardened through unbelief. Jesus told the disciples, "We're going to cross over to the other side. You guys go on ahead, get in the boat, go to the other side." We talked about that story recently. It's recorded in Mark chapter 6. And they're heading across the water. The wind and the waves are against them. Jesus begins walking out on the water to go to meet them. And I want to pick that story up in verse 50 of Mark chapter 6. It says, "He spoke to them and said, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' Then He climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed." Listen. Why were they so amazed? "For they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened." What's it talking about, the loaves? Jesus had just fed the 5,000. Here are 5,000 people, and He miraculously feeds 5,000 people. Didn't matter how great the need, it was no problem for Him. What a fantastic miracle He had done before their eyes. And yet when He comes walking to them on the water and the wind and the waves die down when He gets in the boat, they're just blown away by that. They're so amazed. Why? Let's read it again. "They had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened." Now, this morning, I want to encourage you. I realize that when we talk about the hard heart, every person in here is going, "Well, that's not me." It was the disciples. This was an instance where they didn't get it because their hearts were hard. And we need to realize that there may be some area in our life where we've allowed our hearts to become hard. And so the end result of that is we're not receptive to the Word. And the end result of that is we're not living in the benefits and the blessings that God has for us in that area of our life. But they didn't understand. You see, no matter how great the need was, Jesus had the power to meet that need. And here they are in trouble out on the lake. It didn't matter how desperate the situation, didn't matter how it looked. Listen, Jesus had power to take care of them. And you see, in our own lives, maybe we do the same thing when we face a difficult situation and we miss what God wants to do because our hearts have been hardened. How can we doubt that He would heal us? Oh, it got really quiet in here right now. How can we doubt that He would heal us? It's hard-hearted to think that God won't heal you. See, that unbelief, it's from a hard heart. How could we think that our Heavenly Father wouldn't heal us? How can we think that He wouldn't take care of us? Sometimes people are hardened not to believe through circumstances, situations, disappointments. It's one of those times when people learn the wrong things from experience. And they say, well, I was so disappointed, I got burned. They become disillusioned, unbelieving. The end result is a hard heart that's not receptive to the Word of God. The Word of God is shared, the seed goes forth, but they don't receive it. Sometimes that unbelief comes as a result of the tradition of men and even religious teaching. People hear the Word, listen, hear the Word about the baptism in the Holy Spirit or healing, and they don't receive. Their hearts have been hardened to that Word, and the end result is there's no power to transform them and to bless their life because they resist and reject that Word. They don't receive it. They won't let it in. Even though it comes straight from the Scripture, they say, no, I'm not going to let that in my heart. Some hear the Word, what Jesus taught, give and it shall be given unto you. And they say, oh, those preachers just want my money. I'm not letting that in. I have to tell you, as a pastor, in this day and time, I'm just foolish enough to be bold and say things, but it's a scary thing to talk about money. I dread to talk about money. Because the last thing I want is for somebody to think I'm after their money. Jesus talked about money all the time. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's what He said. But people hear, given it shall be given unto you, and they say, oh, wait a minute now. There goes these churches, the churches, they just want your money. It's a heart issue. He said, there will your heart be also. But people close their heart off to teaching and to the Word of God, teaching from the Word of God that would set them free, that would lead them on in victory. Hearts have become hard. Some hear the Word about giving God praise and they don't receive it because they've been taught the traditions of men. They don't believe that's how you worship. Doesn't matter what the Bible teaches. That's not what I believe. You see, we're talking about the seed of the Word of God. What does the Bible say? And if we close our heart off to what the Bible says, then we're not going to receive the victorious life that it offers us, the abundant life Jesus wants us to have. No, you got to have a healthy heart to have a healthy life, and you can't have a hard heart. See, if you have a hard time with a teaching, you just need to make sure that your heart is not hard in some area. If it's what the Bible says, you better receive. I realize that people can twist and abuse the Word of God and make it say most anything. But when you see clearly what the Bible says, you hear clearly what the Bible says, if you're resistant to that, you need to realize that your heart has been hardened in that area. It's time to do something about it. It's with the heart that we choose to believe. Now, I want you to hear this now. You are not condemned to be a doubter. You always have a choice. You see, I believe that as Jesus was talking about these four kinds of soils or hearts, He wasn't telling us, okay, well now, three-fourths of y'all are not ever going to get it. No, I believe He was identifying a problem. There's some issues that need to be addressed. And if you find yourself with a hard heart in certain areas, you're not condemned to stay that way and not be able to receive, but you've got to choose to change. You've got to choose to believe. You've got to choose to receive. James 1:21, again, he says, receive with meekness or humility the word that's been implanted in you that's able to save your soul. See, if you're having a hard time accepting, receiving the word, choose to believe it. Choose to believe it. You got to make that choice. Decide that you're going to believe. Take the word of God and begin to saturate yourself with it. You know, a lot of the time we'll hear something once or twice, a few times, and we're resistant to it. But you start hearing it over and over and over, and eventually it's going to get into your heart. You see, you do have a say-so in what gets into your heart. And if you've had a hard heart, you don't have to stay that way. Another issue from Hebrews 3, we read those verses earlier, is being hardened by sin. Verse 12 and 13 again of Hebrews chapter 3 says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin has a deceitfulness that hardens the heart. It goes like this. One sin leads to another. When you allow one sin in your life and it's not repented of, then the next step usually leads to a worse sin. It goes a step further. That's the deceitfulness of sin. When somebody is backsliding, you can almost always see this pattern if you watch closely, because it just works this way. They don't go off the deep end in a day. It's one step at a time. There's a deceitfulness of sin. In fact, most of those people, if they could see where they started from and see the end result of where they're headed, they wouldn't go there. But there's a deceitfulness of sin that takes you one step at a time, and each step is another step away. In each step, that hardness of heart is growing. And we've seen it where not only ungodly people, but even great men and women of God have been gotten away. They have just allowed themselves to get away from God to the point that you say, how could they do that? How could they sin like that? You know, it reminds me of the story about David in the Bible. Why did God choose David, anoint him to be king? Because he was a man after God's own heart. He chose him because of his heart. Not because he was handsome or because he was so tough. He chose him for his heart. And yet David's heart at some point got so hard that he slept with another man's wife and then had him killed so that he wouldn't be found out. Now your heart has to be pretty hard to do that. How could his heart have gotten to that place? It didn't happen overnight. Oh, there's a deceitfulness of sin. Somehow he justified it. Somehow he thought it would be all right. You see, that deceitfulness of sin causes people to think, well, it's not really going to matter. The end result is their hearts are hardened. Sometimes people they're doing things that sometime prior in their life, they would have said, I would never do that. In fact, they may have judged other people and said, look at that, I would never do that. And then they find themselves doing the same things. How does that happen? The deceitfulness of sin will harden your heart. It'll cause you to get to the place where you're no longer receptive, no longer open to the Word of God. You hear the Word of God preached, and you maybe read it for yourself, but it doesn't have an impact on you anymore because your heart has been hardened by sin. the deceitfulness of sin. Doesn't have to stay that way. Listen, this is part of the prayer of repentance that David prayed in Psalms 51. In verse 10, he says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me." See, after the prophet came and spelled it out for him, showed him his sin, David was finally repentant. However hard his heart may have become, at that point, his heart broke and he came back fully to the Lord. In verse 17, he says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." See, when we come to God in humility, when there's true repentance, we can be forgiven of sin, but also our hearts can be made new again. What did he pray? He said, "Create in me a pure heart." You see, God is able to not only cleanse us, but restore us and make us new again. And I want to encourage you as a child of God this morning, don't allow sin to harden your heart. It may seem like just a little thing right now, but it leads to another and another. That's the deceitfulness of sin. And it will harden your heart and cause you to miss on the great things God wants to do in your life. It'll keep you from that abundant life, that healthy life that He wants for you. You see, the Word tries to come in to heal you and make you whole, but the deceitfulness of sin will harden your heart and keep the Word from having free course in your life. Now here's the rest of that, James chapter 1, verse 21. I've quoted part of it several times, but I want to read verse 21 through 25. It says, "Get rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and he forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." You see, when we hear the word and we don't allow it to get inside of us and change us and live by it, we're deceiving our own selves. No, we've got to hear the word, fully receive it, and then live it out in our life. Got to be hungry, got to be open, got to be receptive to the word of God. Don't allow your heart to be hard. Another cause of the hard heart can be the wear and tear of life. Just hurts and disappointments, things happen. Life wears on you just like a beaten path. I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of ministers that go through this. They go through a time where their hearts just kind of get hard in a way because the wear and tear. I remember a time back in about 1987 or so, I was working with the youth and just was kind of burnout. And you know, when you're there, if somebody were to say that to me at that time, I would have said, "You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not burnout." And some of you that right now, and you got some hardness of heart in certain areas, you're saying, "Not me." Oh, let the Spirit of the Lord speak to you today. Carmen and I went to a youth pastors conference up in Portland, Oregon, and God just did a work in my heart. Just completely changed me. You know, I'd just kind of gotten to the place where, you know, I didn't have a real love and compassion for the youth anymore. I just wasn't seeing them the way that Jesus did. But God changed my heart that week. The word that was taught, and as the Spirit of the Lord took that word and put it down in my heart, it just transformed me. It did a work in me. It set me free, made me whole, and I was different when I came back. But you see, there was a hardness of heart there that had to change, that had to be dealt with. And you know what? That happens to a lot of people just because of the wear and tear of life. We get to the place where we're no longer sensitive Got to allow the Holy Spirit to break up the hard ground. We all need that at times. As I said, sometimes when we have a hard heart, we don't even recognize it. Now, one of the ways that people don't recognize when they have a hard heart is that they have pain. And they think, well, I have pain, so I don't have a hard heart because I feel. Oh, you don't understand. It is the fact that you have the pain and you hurt inside that you have put up a barrier on the outside. And you're no longer receptive. You're no longer fully receptive to the Word of God because you've hardened yourself. You've believed and been disappointed and hurt. You've trusted and you said, I don't want to do that anymore. And though you may feel extreme pain on the inside, you've hardened your heart and kept it from being receptive any longer. Some women have a real hard time with Bible teaching on submission. And it's the reason is because they don't understand it. But they never get to understand it because just from the very word, some of you, when I said that, you just went, no way. Why? Why is it that way? Because they've been hurt or they've seen others who were hurt by some ugly man abusing that principle. And because of the hurt, they put up this wall. They're not even receptive or open to any such kind of teaching. Some people don't even go to church because they were hurt. How common is that? Whether it's an excuse or a reason, the vast majority of people in this country that are not in church today will say, oh, well, I used to go to church, but... Some who come to church don't want to get involved. They don't want to get close to anybody. The Bible says that we are all members one of another, that each one of us has a place, each one of us has a function in the body of Christ. But they won't hear that teaching. They resist that teaching. They resist getting involved. Their hearts are hardened to it. And they miss the blessing. They miss much of what God wants to do in and through their life because their hearts are hard. Because they've been hurt. There's bitterness there. I want to tell you, our Father wants to bless us. He wants us to live a very best kind of life. But bitterness will harden your heart and cause you to not be able to receive. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. What's the grace of God? It's undeserved favor. The grace of God in your life, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And you know, the second part of that verse, it gives us this principle that when you get bitter, you don't just hurt yourself, you hurt other people. You defile other people around you. And how common that happens in families, in churches. But I want you to see that it is that root of bitterness that can harden your heart and cause you to miss the grace of God, cause you to miss what God wanted to do in your life. But there's an answer. You got to forgive. You got to be willing to release it. You know, you can teach on, see, it doesn't matter what area of teaching we talk about this morning. There are people that don't receive. You talk about forgiveness. There are people who say, I'm not going to forgive. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm never going to forgive that person. And they are bound up. There are things in their spirit that are like that bitterness is like a cancer of the soul. It's eating away at them, keeping them from experiencing the freedom and the wholeness that God has for them because they won't receive the word. Jesus said, you got to forgive. So if you've been hurt, listen, all of us have been hurt. You have a choice to forgive. You don't have to be bitter. You don't have to allow that to harden your heart. But you got to choose to forgive. Psalms 147 and verse 3 tells us that He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. How much better to let God heal it. As long as we carry the hurt and we carry those disappointments, we keep an open wound. We end up hardening ourselves to the grace of God, the things He wants to do. But He will heal the broken heart and bind up their wounds. Amen. He'll restore us so that we can be whole, so that we can truly receive all He has for us. Jesus tells us in this parable about an unhealthy heart, a hard heart. But He doesn't condemn us to stay in that condition. If your heart's become hard through hurts, let Him heal your heart. If it's become hardened through the busyness and stress of life, this the wear and tear, I want to remind you of the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." You see, you don't have to bear that pressure, that stress of life. No, Jesus will take that from you. Learn from Him. He's gentle and humble in heart. You see, when you have that humble heart, as James 1:21 says, then we're able to receive that word planted in us. If your heart has become hardened by sin's deceitfulness, I encourage you today, repent of your sins. Stop making excuses. Stop saying it's not a big deal. Stop saying it doesn't hurt anything. Instead, repent of your sin. Realize it's hardening your heart to the things that God wants to do in and through you. Turn it over to the Lord and truly make Him Lord of your life. If your heart has been hardened through unbelief, choose to believe. Don't allow yourself to sit back and be cynical and skeptical, unbelieving, doubter. Make up your mind that you're going to trust God, take Him at His word. Allow the word of God to bring faith into your heart. As I said earlier, if you'll saturate yourself with the word, you can overcome that unbelief. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You know what? It's going to take more than you hearing it once on a Sunday morning. You're going to have to saturate yourself with the Word of God every day to overcome a stronghold of unbelief. But you can do it. He's not condemning us that we have a hard heart. But I believe that this is a warning, that this is identifying in many of our lives an area where we need to soften our hearts and be open and receptive to the Word of God. I tell you what, I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. I don't want to miss any part of this life, this abundant life that He has for me. And the one thing that can cause you to miss it the fastest is to have a hard heart towards the Word of God. Don't resist. Be, what did He say? In the King James, He says, receive it with meekness. In the NIV, He says, receive it with humility, to humbly receive. Oh, we've got to be open and be teachable to the Word of God. That whatever He wants to do in my life, I'm ready for it. One last time. Don't let hurts and disappointments harden your heart. Deal with them this morning. He can heal you. He can help you forgive and get past it so that you can go on with God. Don't allow unbelief, whether it's from disappointments and circumstances that didn't turn out the way that you thought they should, or whether it's because of the teachings and religious teachings in particular of men that would undermine your faith. See, Jesus dealt with that so much. Don't allow that unbelief to harden your heart and keep you from receiving what God wants to do in you through the Word. And don't allow sin to harden your heart. Get it out. I want you to stand with me, and as we pray this morning, our prayer partners are going to come. Well, Father, I thank You that You've called us to an abundant life. A life full of blessings, a life of freedom and wholeness, health. Father, I just thank you for the victory that's ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that that's what you have for each and every one that's here today. And Father, my prayer today is that our hearts would be open, our hearts would be soft and pliable in your hands, our hearts would be receptive to the Word of God, that we'll not allow the enemy to come and snatch it away, but Lord, that every word that you speak into our lives, Lord, we're going to cherish it. We're going to retain it. We're going to allow it to take root in us and bring forth that life, that successful, victorious life that you have for us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, as we stand here before the Lord this morning, every one of us has had to deal with these issues at times in our lives. I just want to encourage you this morning. If there's sin in your life, don't excuse it. Don't just blow it off and act like it's no big deal. Get it right. Confess it to the Lord. It will harden your heart. If there's hurts this morning, and you're one of those that you're saying, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that, and it's all because of past hurts, past events, I encourage you this morning, come and let God heal that. If you're struggling to really believe God and take Him at His Word today, if you're rejecting, resisting this teaching and that teaching, even though it's straight from Scripture, oh, it's time to come and repent of that unbelief and ask God to change your heart. I just want to encourage you. These prayer partners are here to believe God with you. And I challenge you today, don't walk out those doors with an area of your heart that's been hardened. It's not open and receptive. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We're going to worship for just a minute. And I encourage you, if you want prayer, to step out and come. Our prayer partners are here to minister to you.